Hi, everyone. Very warm welcome to all our listeners to the Big Unlock podcast, season 7. And today we are very happy to have with us Dr. Bharat Sutaria, who's, head of Oracle Health. My name is Ritu M. Oberoi. I'm the managing partner here at Big Rio and Demo Consulting, and also your co-host of the Big Unlock podcast along with Rohit. Today, Rohit is not here, so I'll be in conversation with Dr. Sutaria. And Dr. Sutaria is a senior healthcare leader at Oracle Health. He's shaping, next generation digital platforms and how data and AI are transforming care delivery at scale. At Oracle Health, Dr. Sutaria is focused on enabling a more connected, intelligent healthcare ecosystem. And his work sits at the intersection of platform modernization, interoperability, and the emerging role of AI in reimagining healthcare delivery. And with that, I'll hand it over to Dr. Sutaria. Welcome to the podcast. Thank you for being our guest today.
Ritu, it's a pleasure, and thank you for your warm welcome, and I look forward to our conversation.
Thank you so much. So other than the, whatever I said in the introduction, if you would like to say anything more, we'd love to hear.
Sure. So I've been fortunate to be at the intersection of healthcare and technology journey for now 25 plus years. I'm an emergency physician by training, practiced for 26 years, initially in Detroit, where I trained at the Detroit Medical Center and led a lot of the digital transformation there. And then over to Cerner for 17 years, and then did a short stint with Deloitte, then joined Asima's executive leadership team here at Oracle Health a couple of years ago. I've had the opportunity to look at from the days when we used to practice in paper to transforming on a read-only to then heavy intervention of all the documentations in the EHR. And now truly, I would say the most exciting era where I think we are on the verge of actually delivering the vision that we've always had, which is how do we allow clinicians to, practice better, patients to generate better outcome, and then the healthcare ecosystem to get on a better sustainable path, right? So I am more bullish and excited than ever.
Thank you, Dr. Sutaria. We always love to start with an origin story. And I think doctors' origin stories are really fascinating. And we always ask them what led you to tech, because, being a doctor is like such a full-time job and you have so much to do. How do you manage to combine, your interests in technology and medicine? So if you would tell us a little bit about more about that, that would be great.
I would say what led me to tech is the relentless focus and impatience to improve healthcare. All the way from the time when I was in my residency, and I just would not tolerate the green screen CRT machines delivering lab reports, not working, and the printer not working, back in the residency days to now. I just have a very little impatience for things that don't work. And I think patients deserve better, our providers deserve better, and we need to reshape the healthcare. So is that relentless drive to improve healthcare? I've always looked at, technology as the most scalable answer to that problem. So that's what got me into the technology from early days, my residency, then leading tech transformation at Detroit Medical Center, and then onward.
Great. So tell us a little bit more about your time at Cerner Corporation, because you had a front row seat to, both the promises and limitations of large-scale EHR systems, and exactly what you were saying, they were supposed to make things better, but they were still... so many issues with data liquidity and always things not, that interoperability, which was promised, was never there. So what lessons do you bring to, Oracle Health, and how do you think you can make it better over here?
Sure. So I had a pleasure working with Neil Patterson, founder of Cerner for my entire nearly 15 of the 17 year there. And he always stated that healthcare is too important to stay the same, right? Meaning it needed to evolve. And it needed to evolve faster, right? And that was always the focus at Cerner. Cerner started as initially a lab company and then grew to be an inpatient EHR and then obviously an enterprise EHR over a period of years, right? And what you see, what most people don't necessarily have the perspective on it is if we took the way people practice in paper 20, 25 years ago and just made it electronic, I think EHRs would actually be quite efficient and would do quite well. But what we don't often talk about is 20, 25 years of regulatory compliance, new evidence of medicine, overburdening of the data, all of these different movements over the last 2 to 3 decades that have come on top of EHR, combined with the EHR becoming more and more administrative, is what led to sort of the burden that people talks about. It's not the EHR alone. It's the combined effort of, for example, E&M coding, right? E&M coding is quite burdensome, and electronic systems definitely help. Many times that help gets perceived into, oh, EHR is making me do this. In reality, yes, it's the E&M coding system, or it's the medical legal documentation you have to do, or it's the XYZ task you have to do for some other purpose. All of it gets compounded into an EHR issue, right? And I think that's why I'm excited about the future that it holds, because I think we have much better answers as we go forward.
Thank you for that insightful answer. And what we are really looking to see is that, you know, Oracle Health is now representing this shift towards a more unified platform-centric model. But what fundamentally changes when healthcare is moving from these fragmented systems to a single data and workflow layer? And what do you think is going to get harder before it gets easier? Like you said, with AI, you know, you're hoping things get easier. But what do you think will get harder before we get there?
Yeah, so as you've seen, there's been a quite rapid adoption of AI and modern technology over the last, particularly last couple of years, right? And we made a different bet than the most industry, right? And I think that both sort of articulates the challenge and the opportunity, right? So the industry went on to a bolt-on approach of, hey, I'm going to keep my legacy foundational EHR, and I'm just going to bolt AI on top of it, right? It's the sort of the industry norm. We at Oracle took a different approach and say, AI is too important of a transformative tool, and we have to leverage it appropriately. In addition, we had the opportunity, because of Oracle now, of leveraging the full stack of the Oracle might, from a foundational database, you know, 26 AI database, to Oracle Cloud OCI infrastructure, to the AI layer, to the modern application layer. So we took both the full might of the Oracle stack, then the emergence of the AI, and we reached a conclusion that we have to restart and reconstruct the entire, not just the EHR, but the healthcare tech ecosystem across provider, payer, and life sciences, and achieve a connected ecosystem vision. So that's the bet we took. And so for us, AI is embedded into our EHR. Or you can even say other way, EHR is embedded inside the AI, and there's no sort of this bolt-on approach, right? And while that is a challenge, because it requires a large amount of resources to develop what's been existing in the market for 3-4 decades of legacy EHR, we're taking the big bet to transform the whole thing. So that does require resources. It provides us a significant advantage to innovate without the constraint of the legacy EHR. The industry has obviously a take on the bolt-on approach. And in the early experiment, both approaches are having success, because we're still at the scraping the surface of the possibility of what AI can bring to medicine, right? And it's okay. I think where you will see going forward differentiation is in the initial AI agents. We too deployed our AI agents on top of our legacy, you know, Millennium EHR. But as we go forward, we just released a brand new Oracle Health Ambulatory Primary Care EHR. That is a AI embedded, cloud first, you know, native experience EHR. It looks radically different. It behaves radically different. And it's got ridiculously a little amount of menu structure and clicks to it, because AI is there as your companion, always with human in the loop, but AI is sort of looking forward and saying, what are you trying to do, and help you orchestrate that. So the biggest movement for us is moving from a system of record, which is most of all EHRs have been, system of record, a systems of transaction, to a true system of orchestration and system of work. So that's the big transformation that we're leading toward.
Yeah, I think I totally agree with you there, because I think this bolt-on approach that you were talking about can only lead to incremental change. But if you're looking at transformational change, then you have to kind of build with, like what you said, like AI first in mind, and with agentic now with orchestration. So yeah, I think I totally agree with that answer, because in some voice agent webinars that we used to do, we used to talk about this, that why don't companies see that? They expect like a lot more out of AI, but they don't see that transformational change because they're using it for a bolt-on solution. And that's only going to give you that incremental, you know, 10, 20% productivity gain. But AI can let you do things fundamentally differently, just like you said, get away from the menus and let the power of the LLM really understand what you want to do, so you can afford to move away from those. So you talked about, you know, going back to what physicians, maybe going back to what physicians really thought medicine would be like, and not get trapped into this documentation burden. So what do you think about this invisible AI versus, you know, clinician facing tools, and where is this real value creation happening today? Like, we're hearing a lot about ambient and how doctors are, you know, feeling so free and feeling that it's like what it was supposed to be like, that they're just talking directly to the patient and not have that paper in between or that burden in between. So would love to hear your thoughts about that.
I think the biggest near-term value is really in reduction of what I would call high-volume friction that typically causes the clinician burnout. And that's the task of documentation, chart review, ordering, and all the follow-up tasks. And what we have now shown with even Oracle Health Clinical AI Agent built for each of these purposes is that when you deploy it and when it has context of the entire chart, you do reduce significant amount of burden. That's been demonstrated in time saved, clinicians, you know, satisfaction and happiness, a reduction of pajama time, as well as even a better interaction with patient, because now clinicians got a more time with a patient face to face versus hiding behind a keyboard, right? So we've seen all of those early outcomes. And for us, outcomes not only about the process measures such as the save time and so on. We also are tracking now outcomes that are truly clinical outcomes, financial outcomes. Did the patient care improve? Was the provider able to see more patients efficiently? Was the patient happier with that interaction, right? Things that really matter is what we are now transitioning into it. So even in these early days, I think focusing on that high volume friction, AI has already been super helpful.
So would you say that ambient has been one of the, you know, most successful use cases so far of AI? And where do you see it going even further? Like, what's next?
Yeah, absolutely. So ambient as a piece of technology that's assistive in healthcare delivery is probably the single best technology that I've seen in my career of 25 plus year in terms of a rapid adoption. And not only rapid adoption by one or two physician group, but across the board, every physician group, you can give access to, they eat it up and they actually use it with a pretty high degree of adoption, right? And that's because it adds value to them, right? It captures the documentation fairly accurately, and it still keeps human in the loop where the summary, the draft is presented to the clinician and he or she is able to validate before committing it to the chart, right? So that, yes, absolutely. But while the rest of the many different startups in the industry probably consider that as the endpoint of, hey, we've got a great ambient documentation company, at Oracle Health, we look at that as the beginning and a foundation. So for example, our ambient agent, when it's creating the note draft and is listening to the conversation between the provider and the patient, is constantly monitoring that conversation to say, did the physician say something about the orders? Oh, Mrs. Jones, I'm going to order XYZ laboratory test for you. I'm going to renew your prescription. So it takes all of that context that is said by the physician. So it's not automatically making the decisions on your behalf, but it's extracting your text and the intent of the clinician, and is queuing up orders, prescription refill, all of the tasks, if it requires referral to a different clinician. In fact, if it requires prior authorization, so Mrs. Jones, looks like you need a knee replacement, I'm going to get my team to schedule a knee surgery for you. In that act of listening, the agent understands that who the payer of this patient is, and by the eligibility and coverage criteria, is a prior authorization required? And if the prior auth is required, the minute we're able to connect to payers, we already connect to CMS today, we're able to connect and go retrieve the criteria for what is the requirement, go get all the information from the chart, automatically fill it, and then present it to the clinician for review. And if it requires more work, send it to the queue, right? But you notice I connected an ambient conversation to an automation of a significant task and getting it more accurately done. That's the journey for us. And the myriads and myriads of agents are then spinning off in the background based on that ambient conversation and continuing the journey forward.
Yeah. So you're saying it's going to move from like just being a note taker to actually taking it to the next step, listening to
what's already there. It's already happening.
It's already right. Okay. So Dr. Sararia, most health systems and CEOs and CIOs we are talking to are now really getting overwhelmed by the space of innovation because it's like literally every day now there's something new coming out. So how should CIOs and CMIOs think about, you know, sequencing platform modernization, AI adoption, and operational transformation without creating, you know, decision fatigue within the organization? And how do you just deal with this? Like you said, this is, you know, this last past year, I think, or maybe the last 1.5 years have been like absolutely transformational with all these new technologies just coming to the forefront so quickly and, you know, the level of adoption. So what's your advice or your perspective on, you know, decision fatigue and how do you think they should handle this?
Sure. So let me just start by saying some brief snippets and then I'll back it up. Yeah. First, I would say start with end in mind, what outcomes you're trying to achieve and recruit the right solution for that. Number two, look at AI not as an individual set of 100 vendors, but as someone who can help you as a partner that can establish the platform and services for years to come and hundreds of problems to solve, right? Those are the two axes, I think, that are quite important. Because what I do see in the marketplace and even within our customer and outside is that tens and at times maybe 100 different startups and AI companies are coming and hitting all of the leadership from different angles for different problems to solve. And in their own right, I think everybody actually have something to offer and they can truly solve the problem. The issue is how do you bolt on tens of different AI startup company in your ecosystem, shuttle all the data. Every single model requires data. That means you are extracting and sending a data to some unknown universe. And now you have to manage the cybersecurity and the data privacy and compliance associated with it, right? So I think it's already, AI has proven well enough that we know that AI is in the journey of every single health system. So you might as well accept it and start AI as a true trusted partner framework to say, which partner or set of partners can I form a partnership with to establish AI infrastructure within my shop, right? Mm-hmm. Associated with all of my clinical, as well as my ERP and enterprise systems so that we can achieve clinical, operational, and financial improvement, right? So think from a partnership perspective. And two, think from that purpose that I talked about, intent to solve the problem. What are the sort of the biggest bang for the buck? What can we get started with that's already proven in the marketplace? Adopt that, but not wait for the next set to perfectly emerge. Some amount of experimentation and piloting, I think, in this emerging space is quite important because the journey of the pilot in the AI are not measured in several months or year. It's measured in days and weeks because that's how efficient it is to deploy AI agent and then get to the outcomes of it.
Yeah. But do you see a dichotomy between this? You know, we asked somebody else this question and because in health, and you know, usually with tech, it's like innovate fast and fail fast and learn fast. But with healthcare, it's like just the opposite. You have to play it really safe and not take any chances at all. So how do you kind of deal with this?
Yeah, and I think you bring up an important point. You take almost any industry and what's known as the part per million error rate. Well, that is not accepted in healthcare, right? In healthcare, we can't afford to make such a mistake, right? So you have to absolutely have guardrail. And that's my point about you need a trusted partner and platform with appropriate guardrails. So while you may be doing early adoption of a set of innovation, you've got right guardrails, you got right governance, you got right metrics and measurement to ensure that you have absolute patient safety. And on top of that, you have to make sure that it's done in a, such a way that you are able to test out the high-risk situation on a non-production load. But the beauty of it is that there's so much improvement to be made on the operational end of the healthcare that you can safely deploy AI to solve a ton of operational issue to gain efficiency before you go on the higher end of a deeper clinical matters, right? And so it does give everybody an opportunity to get started in a big way.
Yeah, that's where we're seeing most of the implementations in the digital front door before, you know, the patients even get to the clinical site. But do you think this, the guardrails and the safety factors that you talked about, do you think that would keep human in the loop longer? Because AI is progressing so fast, like people are talking about AGI now. And we saw with Project Glasswing, you know, Anthropic's actually put their release on hold because they're saying we're giving time to these big organizations to figure out their vulnerabilities. So it's progressing so fast and learning so much so soon that do you think we can hold the fort for this human in the loop, or do you think it's going to just leapfrog that? And
yeah, and I think that's where the careful governance and guardrails come into play, because I don't think that anybody can afford to completely just wait, right? So how do you keep the journey moving forward, but do it in a safe manner? And I think establishing some framework such as, hey, if something is administrative and it doesn't delay patient care, even if it's not a safety related, it doesn't delay patient's care. And if it's an administrative task, we could potentially automate it, sort of the invisible part of the AI. We just have to have the right metrics to make sure it's achieving the intended outcome, right? So you could do that very safely on the operational end there. But the minute you inch toward it's assisting, not even making clinical decision, but let's just say it's assisting clinical decision, then the transparency of why it's drawing that conclusion and making sure that it is not able to take autonomous task, but it's instead assistive and is presenting the set of facts with transparency to clinician is more important. So for example, when we construct our chart review, so every time a physician logs into the new EHR, immediately there is a AI-driven summary that knows the patient, knows the reason why the patient is in front of the clinician, knows the physician, knows the entire history, because it's not a bolt-on where it's only got some HL7 and FHIR info. It's got access to the entire record. It constructs a very nice summary that clinician can consume in 1 to 2 minutes versus having to click through probably 15 tabs in 10 minutes on a complex patient, right? So that summary is there. But we put meta tag in that summary anywhere there's a critical information where if clinician can just literally hover over and see where this information came from. And with one click, it loads up that document with the text highlighted as to where that information came from, as opposed to AI just making it up, right? So there are absolute way to safeguard so that the implementation of these early AI both drives the clinical efficiency, but does that in a safer way. And that's the difference. We are fortunate enough that we've got the might of the full stack Oracle Health from an AI infrastructure perspective, but we got 3-4 decades of clinical experience of developing clinical systems. So we understand at the very deep level, the sort of the tendency of every data and the metadata associated with it. Lab value is just not a lab value. We know what abnormal high, low, source, what the standard deviations, all of that are, because that's what we've been living on the Cerner side of the equation for the last 4 decades. Now combined with Oracle, it puts us in a stronger position to actually deploy AI in a safer manner.
I think you made very good points, you know, with the retrieval augmented generation, the RAG, the able to trace back to the source. And also this other thing about context, because you have so much context around those values that you're able to kind of understand the situation. So I think that was a very insightful answer. Thank you so much. You know, the time has flown by. We are almost at the end of the podcast. So what would you say your predictions are for the next year, or, you know, looking out, what do you see coming down the pathway, and where do you think we'll be? Like if we were this conversation again in a year, what would we be talking about?
I think we'll be talking about the next chapter, which is moving away from documentation and truly into orchestration, I think is the big movement. I also think that AI shouldn't be creating work. AI needs to do the work. So I think we'll see more successful example toward that. And at the end of the day, all of this matters only if our clinicians and patients feel that they got the time back, they're doing fewer repetitive tasks, and they feel that there's a safer transition toward a better healthcare, right? At the end of the day, that's the North Star, right? The health systems feel like they can operate a better care delivery plant. The providers within it, they feel like they're providing a better, safer care while being personally satisfied because they're not overburdened. And then lastly, patients feel like the health system they're visiting, powered by AI, are actually delivering them better experience. And I think that's the North Star toward the future.
Thank you so much, Dr. Starya. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on the podcast. And thank you for making the time to speak with us today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for a great conversation.